Again, I thank you. Thank the Lord for you and for your fellowship. Let's look back at Psalm 110. I'd like to actually read and consider, say this, the first three verses of this passage. Hundreds of years before the Spirit of God moved upon a man to actually pen these verses. Hundreds of years before the Lord actually physically came into this world, made flesh, made of a woman, that He might redeem His people who were under the law, that they might actually receive physically, spiritually, the promise of being adopted, openly adopted. Hundreds of years before all of that actually in time took place, Almighty God moved upon David to write a sovereign promise. And this promise that was made, before I actually look at it, I want you to just hold your place there, but turn to Isaiah 42. This passage of Scripture sheds a lot of light on this blessed promise. Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 4. Listen to this conversation that actually took place between Almighty God and here the Lord Himself speaking to the church concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen what the Father says. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, but cause his voice to be heard in the street. He's not going to be self-speaking, is what he was saying. He won't be boisterous, contentious. He won't lift up his voice in anger, is what he's saying. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He's going to bring forth judgment, meaning he's going to bring forth power that's going to accompany his word. When he speaks, it's going to happen. That's what he's saying. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. And there's Jehovah speaking to the church. Now listen to Jehovah speaking to the Lord Himself in the next few verses, Isaiah 42, 5 to 9. Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth bread unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. Now here's Jehovah speaking to His Son. I, the Lord, Jehovah, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant to the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That's my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. before they spring forth, I tell you of them. I read that passage of Scripture and I think, what submissiveness of the Lord, who humbled Himself, made Himself of no reputation. And Jehovah would speak to Him and tell Him who is God. God Almighty. And Jehovah says, I chose you. I ordained you. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to keep you. And I'm going to do all these things that I'm telling you about right now. I think that's just too high for me. What humility. What abasement. What laying Himself as a servant. And coming and doing that which His fathers commanded Him to do. And I think. Well, back in Psalm 110. Here's now the psalmist writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. We read that which Jehovah said to the church and what Jehovah said to the Lord Jesus, His servant. And then the Scripture says in Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord. The Lord, all capitals, Jehovah, said unto my Lord, the Son, the Messiah, the glorious head and surety of His people. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now I want you to just stop for just a second. Just think of what we just read. Those words that we just read are pertaining to the finished and rewarded work of Christ. Hundreds of years that it was penned eternally, finished in the heart, mind, will, purpose of Almighty God before His incarnation. This is Old Testament now. The Lord said unto my Lord, you sit at my right hand. All the prophecies that have been given concerning His obedience and His sacrifice. And through all those prophecies, that which was set forth as being past tense. This was done. That Scripture we just spoke of, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. God's people, secure. Almighty God saw it. He who is eternal beheld it. I've said before, I don't even know how to speak eternal. Everything I say concerning eternity comes out as time in the beginning. I don't even know how to say eternal. It never began. It never started. This is that which has come to pass and shall come to pass is finished. It's done. Listen to the Lord speaking in Psalm 22:18. Psalm now, Old Testament. Before He ever came, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. And in time they did it. But concerning the Lord, it's done. It's over. Isaiah 53:4-6. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and wounded. Not that He's going to be. No, He's borne them. He carried. We did esteem Him wounded. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. You say, well, he's not going to come yet. No, the Lord said, it's done. It's done. But it's going to happen in time. I know that. Don't you love just not being able to figure out the mysteriousness of God? Who is man? All we like sheep have gone astray. Turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And at the cross, we beheld it. He actually was made sin. In time, that which the Lord said He would do for His people. We came forth in time doing that which Almighty God eternally knew would happen. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. The only priest that has ever sat in Jehovah's presence. Why? Because He finished the work. Finished the work before the foundation of God's mind, God's eyes. He who is eternal, you sit down. I'm satisfied. And in time, He came and glorified the Father on earth in His loving, perfect obedience and finished the work that the Father had given Him to do concerning the redemption and salvation of His people, defeated all the enemies of God's people, sin and Satan, death and hell and the grave. When He said it was finished, that's when we knew it. When did God know it? He's always known. How sure is the salvation of God's people? You sit down. Sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies openly your footstool. You sit down as the representative of the bride. You sit down as He who is conquered. You finish the work. Now this, not only has He finished the work, in time, yes. Eternally, always. But I want you to listen to these two great promises that Almighty God has given concerning the glory of the precious Redeemer and Savior of His people. Verse 2. The Lord, again, that's Jehovah, shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Now here's what Jehovah has said. Jehovah has said that He's going to send the glorious proclamation and preaching of the gospel. And it's going to come out of His church. It's going to come out of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, that message which is the power of God unto salvation. This world believes that you can go anywhere and just, you know, there's churches all over Kingsport. I mean, you can go anywhere and hear the truth. Not according to the Scriptures, you can't. The Scripture says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Out of that blessed group of people, that remnant according to the election of grace, that gospel that is preached according to 1 Peter 1:12 with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. The Lord, Jehovah, is going to send this rod, this rod of power and direction and strength, the message of Christ, And God Almighty, Jehovah, is involved in this. The L-O-R-D, all caps, shall send the rod. That means concerning the Father. Romans 1:1 declares this to be the gospel of the Father. Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The Lord, in His high priestly prayer, hold your place right there and turn to John 17. The Lord qualified this statement. You know, He doesn't have to, but I'm so thankful He did. John 17. John 17, verses 1 and 2 declares this: "These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." And then look in verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send Me." You know what He just said? "Father, I'm telling them just exactly what You told Me." Who sends this rod? The Father sends it. But then the Scripture declares also that this is the gospel of Christ, of which the Apostle Paul said he wasn't ashamed. Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek." I thought the Father sent it. He did. Well, that says the Son sent it. He did. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians. Turn to, hold your place in Psalm 110. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 7 and 8. "But if the ministration," the ministry, "of death, written and engraven in stones was glorious." If the law itself was glorious, "so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministry of the Spirit," the ministry, the gospel of the Spirit, "be rather glorious." This is the gospel of the Spirit of God. Back in Psalm 110, "The Lord, Jehovah, shall send the rod of Thy strength out of Zion. Jehovah Himself shall send the gospel. He shall rule," the Scripture declares, "in the midst of Thine enemies." We're in a world that hates the God that we love. That's what the Scripture says. "You'll be hated of all men for My sake, for My name's sake." Do you know why this world of false religion, do you know why you're hated of all men? Because of He who dwells in you. They hate Him. That's what they hate. The carnal mind is enmity against God. You think, why? You tell someone that they don't have the power and the strength or the will, free will, to be able to accept. You tell them that they're dead and they can do nothing. What you're doing is you're taking away their God, which is themselves. That's who they're serving, themselves. And you're hated for that. But it's Christ in you that they hate. That's who they hate. You know, that's that enmity. That's that animosity. They will say in their hearts, I'm not going to have that God to rule over me. I am my own God. But the Scripture declares, here's a promise. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. He rules unhindered in the midst of all his enemies, conquering by power and grace. He conquers all of his people. You know, when Scripture declares that Satan shall be bound for 1,000 years, actually, the word is thousands. Satan shall be born for 1,000 years. It's a definite time with a non-revealed number. Who knows how long Satan is bound? Well, the Lord knows. I mean, somebody said, well, he's going to be 1,000 years. Well, does that mean, you know, 365 days times 1,000? What does that mean? You know? Well, what period are you going to put that in? 1,000 years. Okay? Are we in it now? Or, you know, do you know how long Satan is bound? From the creation of man until the second coming of Christ. What's he bound from? He's bound from being able to stop God from calling out his people. That's what he's bound from. What does this scripture say? Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. What's the Lord going to do? He's going to call out his own. Who's going to stop him? Nobody. He doeth as he will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. This is no contest. Well, you got Satan on one side and the Lord on the other, and there's a battle. No, you have the Lord. And the Scripture says, rule. Rule in the very midst of thine enemies. And here's the second promise. That's the first one right there. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. The gospel is going to be preached. And Almighty God is going to rule. And here's the second sovereign promise. Oh, I love this passage of Scripture. Thy people. Aren't you glad God's got a people? Thy people, chosen before the foundation of the world, given by the Father unto the Son, gave them for safekeeping, eternal safety. They're found in the surety. They're in the city of refuge himself, the haven of rest. They're in the rock. Thy people, God's elect, that small remnant according to the election of grace. I know this world hates the word election, but it's a scriptural word. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God chose a people? Aren't you glad He's got children that He's going to train up? Thy people, willing. I know shall be is in italics. I know it's put there so they'll understand. But here's what it says: Thy people. Willing. In the day of thy power. You know what's that word willing right there? Volunteers. Volunteers. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've said this before, probably said it here. I just love it so much. In Mexico, whenever they pray, the word Lord, when you hear, if they're praying, I don't understand Spanish. But I do understand when they said Lord, they always say, Señor, Señor, Sir. Yes, sir. I've told people this. I mean it. Man, I grew up in Louisiana. My dad was from Mississippi. Was sort of from the South. And if my dad asked me something, I bet you can ask Gabe if this don't apply to him too. When my dad asked me something, my mama asked me something, whatever the answer was, better have the word sir or ma'am with it. I've told people this before. My dad would ask me something, and I said, what? Huh? I'm telling you, it would not have gone well. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. They volunteer. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come unto me. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Willing to believe, willing to come, willing to seek, willing to love, willing to obey and follow. My sheep, they hear. Why? Because I give them ears to hear. I give them eyes to see. When the Lord is pleased to reveal Christ to me. You know the most amazing thing that I ever saw in these scriptures? That this truth of God's sovereign grace is everywhere. I never saw it before. I could read those scriptures and I just thought, I didn't see that. Man's got a free will. I didn't see that. Boy, when He opened my eyes, I was willing. Why? Because He led and taught and trained up in the day of His power. That word didn't come in word only, gospeling it, but it came in power and in the Holy Spirit. Thy people, willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, in the splendor and honor of Almighty God in Christ, in His holiness, in the day of God's power. Isaiah 33:17, thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. Behold my servant. That's what we read. Behold Him. They look upon Him and see Him. When the gospel is preached and it's blessed by the Spirit of God, who do you see? Him. Him. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. You know, when you get up early in the morning, you go out and there's the dew is formed. There's the dew out there on the grass. It's produced. It was conceived in the womb of the morning. Where did it come from? I don't know. Well, I don't try to tell me how humidity and barometric pressure and all this. But you know what? Almighty God just put it there. It was conceived from the womb of the morning, marvelously displayed by the breaking rays of the sun. But is that not how Almighty God saves His people? What? There they were. Just formed from the womb of the morning. Almighty God did something that we just cannot explain. That dew is the product of God's hands, and so are those that are born of God, not by the will of the flesh. Thou, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Continuing for that context, the willingness of His people. They see the beauty of the Lord's holiness. And here the Holy Spirit reveals the surety of Christ having His people. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. You have your people. You have them. Micah 5:7 says, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. How did they get there? The Lord just called them out and revealed them. They are as the dew from the Lord. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. You who are eternally young. The everlasting God. The Lord. He has them. And He'll forever have them. He is the eternal Son. In the day of your youth. In eternity. And He who has them, He's going to keep them. They'll never perish. Secure in Him who is God Almighty. I pray God bless the Word to our hearts today, that we might be refreshed truly in hearing of Him, tasting of Him, and knowing that He is good.